Well, what's behind Google? You know, what's,
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about Google and their solutions. I mean, they started this apocalypse and they want to be the white knight with the shining armor. But what about, you know, people who are not into Google and not into their platform and not into their, you know, solutions? What else do we have?
Get ready to deep dive into the world of digital transformation, where we explore the latest trends, innovations, and challenges shaking up industries. Join us as we decode the secrets behind successful digital strategies and hear from experts who are at the forefront of disrupting the status quo. In each episode, we'll unravel the mysteries of the digital realm and uncover the hidden opportunities that lie within. From artificial intelligence to blockchain, from automation to cybersecurity, we'll leave no digital stone unturned. But hold on tight, because this podcast isn't your average tech talk. We're injecting a hefty dose of wit and humor into every episode, making learning about digital transformation an absolute blast. So if you're ready to embrace the digital revolution with a smile on your face, tune in to the Digital Disruption Podcast and get ready to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Don't miss out on the fun. Subscribe now and join us on this wild digital journey.
Hello, good morning, Patrick.
Good evening, Daoud. How are you?
I'm all good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I had a great workout at the gym and I feel good. I feel good.
Sounds amazing. Just got a notification. Google is killing third-party cookies. Once again, it's a running joke by now. Google kills third-party cookies like three times per year. It's like zombie cookies. They ain't cookies, they're zombie cookies.
That's true.
It's
There
just
are some
funny.
zombie cookies running around now, aren't they? Do they feed on brains? I guess they do feed on brains too, right? They feed on the brains of internet users and our attention spans that are rapidly diminishing.
I mean,
So
there are zombie cookies. I did not know that, but when I was writing the blog about cookies going away, someone said there exists some zombie cookies. But I guess, hopefully, I mean, Google is known for killing I'm murdering products. I'm just surprised that they haven't killed third-party cookies till now, and they just keep on postponing, postponing, postponing. So, to the best of our knowledge, Google is killing third-party cookies, and they are moving on with a solution called Privacy Box. So it looks like they might actually stick to their word. I mean, Google is Google, and Google does whatever it wants to do. But I think finally we're going to be moving out from the shadow of, oh, third-party cookies are going away, to finally third-party cookies are going away. So I guess when
yes,
I.
sir. Yes, sir. I think that we're here. I do like to get out my crystal ball from time to time and make predictions. I think in this case it wouldn't be anything particularly controversial or glaring if I did say the deadline for deprecating third-party cookies might shift again, I don't think it would be all that controversial at this point because it's happened so many times. But I do believe I'm actually fairly confident that the most
the most recent third-party cookie deprecation deadline for early next year, and really phasing out by the third and fourth quarters of next year. I think we can rely on that at this point, as that is the likely timeline. And that said, if it shifted again, I wouldn't fall out of my chair. So, but I think from a getting prepared standpoint, any organization that has not been getting prepared for the deprecation of third-party cookies because of this perception of an ever-shifting deadline, I think you should be preparing for the deprecation of third-party cookies if you have not already started.
I mean, what's beyond cookies world, to be honest? What does, the crystal ball says, like, what does it have for us in the future? How companies would, survive in a cookieless world or a third party cookieless world?
Yeah. Well, I've been to Cairo before, Daoud, and I know that in Egypt, you all have a lot of really delicious confections and pastries and sweets that are not cookies. So what's your favorite non-cookie dessert?
My favorite non-cookie dessert, I would say, what do you call it? Dumplings, I think. So these, like, fried, they fry it in oil. There are some, stuff. I love fried things, so I love fried sweets also. So, like, I like donuts.
Oh, yes.
But I also like
donuts.
Oh yeah, and I also like the Eastern kind of sweets. I don't know their English names, but you have the long ones that, they're fried, then they're thrown into thrown into a pot where it has water and sugar. We call it sugary syrup of some kind.
Like an Indian, it's an Indian dessert, right? Like a jalebi or something like that. Is that?
I do not know, to be honest. Like,
okay.
I'll research it.
All right.
And whenever you come to Egypt, we'll eat it.
Yes. All right.
But
so at
I
least in a
think...
cookie-less world, we won't be faced with a donutless world. So,
I mean, imagine.
Be bad. In all seriousness, so we do have this cookie deadline coming, and beyond cookies, I guess to state the obvious is we will be in a cookie-less marketing and measurement world, or to be even more precise, we'll be in a third-party cookie-less world, right? So this will be cookies that are not set on the, by the domain that a user is on, right? Is what is going to define those as third-party cookies. So now we've already been faced with ITP and ETP for a while now, which, treats third-party cookies differently than first-party cookies already, imposing different expiration deadlines on them, and even treats first-party cookies that are set by JavaScript as if they're third-party cookies. So we're already in a cookie-challenged world, and we've seen the impact on our data collection and targeting, for several years now. But this will be a larger magnitude of change in terms of third-party cookies, with them being phased out entirely here within the Chrome ecosystem. So just in terms of, I guess, to fully reset on the actual specific timing, as it currently stands, starting in Q1, we'll have about 1% of Chrome users that will be in that the third-party cookie deprecation bucket. Which that doesn't sound like a lot, but Chrome has a massive market share, so even 1% is a pretty big shift. But when we start to get to mid Q3 and Q4 of next year, that's when we're going to see that third-party cookie phase out. So that 1% allocation is going to grow considerably until everybody's in that phased out. So assuming the deadline does not shift again, Q3 is, kind of a big looming black hole kind of sucking you toward it as an advertiser. And so your time horizon is, call it 6.5 months to understand what a post third party cookie world looks like. Hopefully you've already been thinking about this. Maybe, if you've had an agency partner or just, forward looking folks in your organization, thinking through these things, hopefully maybe you've already started testing some solutions, been reading up on what are emerging in the marketplace. But one way or another, if you haven't already started thinking about third party cookie deprecation, or if you have, just keep in mind you have about we're now in this sort of like 6 to 6.5 month time window where not only do you need to be thinking about this, you want to understand the implications of doing nothing and or what options you have to do some of the audience targeting and media measurement functions that you are doing now that you may not be able to do in the same way as you're doing now, right?
And what, since we're talking about Google, what does Google have to offer? Since, Chrome has the largest share of like internet browsers, and they are the ones who are going to be deprecating the third-party cookies. So what did they leave
Yeah,
us
so
with?
there's a So there's a few different there's a few different solutions that are being all kind of worked on collaboratively in this. Yeah, you mentioned it at the top of the episode, the Privacy Sandbox Initiative. So there's a few different solutions that are being work actively worked. Not all of them directly pertain to advertisers, so I'm not going to focus on like that on everything that is in the Privacy Sandbox Initiative, but I'll focus on two or three that are potentially going to be key or useful. And those would that would be the Topics API, the Protected Audience API, and the Attribution API. So the Topics API is actually pretty far along. The whole idea being one, all of the Privacy Sandbox initiatives that are relevant to advertisers, they're meant to happen on the user's browser and by permission, rather than via cookies as historically would happen. So in terms of the Topics API, you would essentially be getting flagged with what kind of content you've browsed recently and what topic of interest that content falls into, right? So you would assuming you've given permission to be added to these to have these flags added essentially, all content can theoretically be categorized in this like emerging set of standard kind of content topics and subtopics. And so you could potentially on your browser have up to three topics that you're part of. That means like in the last several weeks, sorry, in the last week, you've expressed an interest in these three topics. Classic cars, luxury watches, comic books, whatever those topics might end up being, right? And advertisers can now sort of bid on, right? Like when you're on a publisher website, they can actually participate in auctions for users who are in those different topic labels, right? But that auction is happening on the browser. It's not happening up in the ad tech, right? So it's totally anonymous from an individual user standpoint. You just know you sell really rare comic books, and you want to reach people who are in this comic books topic, right? As part of your overall targeting strategy. You sell really high-end watches, and so you want to reach people who are into luxury watches, right? So the Topics API is a way to facilitate this with the kind of anonymity of numbers, right? So you're not able to target like one-on-one individually identifiable people. You really are targeting that set of inferred interest rather than persons. So that's one solution. There's also the Protected Audience API, and this is more of again, these protected audience membership for a user is happening on their browser versus again out in the ad tech. But you could be asked to join one of these protected audiences, so you would actually receive a message on your browser to allow. Do you want to allow to join this audience? And then if you did, at that point, that you could be remarketed as part of that protected audience, right? By the audience owner would be either an end advertiser or like a DSP, for example, right? So that DSP could allow its advertisers to again target that protected audience, but again, they would have no access to the individual users within that audience. They would simply know that that is a desirable audience based on what defines that audience, and that's how you would target that. So, right, so it's meant to preserve the anonymity of numbers and privacy of the user, and be permission-based, but then allow you to continue to reach that user meaningfully as an advertiser. Okay. So that's the second. And then the third that's most relevant to advertisers would be the attribution reporting. And the attribution reporting allows both click and view attributed con you know to measure conversion actions of and attribute to both clicks and views. Again, it would be not down to the individually identifiable user. It would be at an aggregate level. So it would allow you to generate insights, but not again to kind of do person level, kind of reporting and insight generation. So these are all potentially useful features. I suspect pretty heavily from what I'm seeing is most of these features will be embedded within functionality that you're using, say within your media buying platform, media buying tools. So you would take advantage of the ability to do protected audience targeting, topics targeting within, say, your DSP, within an enterprise ad server, right? The attribution reporting, there may be some use cases here in terms of the attribution reporting API where you could, potentially as the end advertiser yourself, take advantage of some of that functionality to generate some reporting directly. But I suspect heavily most of these functions will be embedded within the ad tech and MarTech ecosystem versus individual end advertisers developing solutions based on this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Another kind of feature that's not part of the privacy sandbox directly, but it is kind of within the Google ecosystem, is, I guess, part of this bigger privacy friendly cookieless future, is what they mentioned several months ago, called PAIR, or Publisher Advertiser Identity Reconciliation, which is a mouthful, not nearly as appealing as a donut or a pastry, but in a cookieless world, it may be what we have to settle for. And what it allows is it allows advertisers to connect their own first party audience data to a pub to it directly with a publisher's first party audience data, very much in kind of a clean room type of a fashion, where it's happening behind a veil of privacy. So you're able to make the connection between your first party audience and theirs, but you're not actually seeing the individual users. And so again, it's another way where you can target a desirable audience in an addressable fashion, but in a privacy friendly way, right? So that means you can target, like you can set, you can take your own first party data and really pre-segment it into these the kind of sophisticated segmentation that you would like, create your campaigns, use PAIR to tie each of those segments with your publishers, where you have the overlap of users, target that audience, send them the relevant message. Also, let me
You
support.
hold on, you're cutting off. You're completely cut off. I'm not sure why.
Oh, yeah, you were. Can you hear me? Because you were like, your screen was totally frozen for a minute.
Yeah, same here. You were saying it cut off at relevant.
So yeah, what I was saying is PAIR functionality will, allowing you to tie your, like, you can do your segmentation on your own first party data, right? Create different segments that you want to target, create those campaigns, and target those audiences within that publisher that you've connected with ad inventory. So you're reaching these particular segments you wanted to with different messaging offers, whatever, right? As relevant of campaign messaging as possible for that particular segment, right? So in an addressable type of way. So, I mean, it's a pretty, it's a, I would say it's a very, while it's very much in the early stages, excuse me, I had to sneeze there. It's in the early stages. It's got a lot of promise as a highly relevant post-cookie targeting option.
Well, what's behind Google? What's,
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about Google and their solutions. I mean, they started this apocalypse and they want to be the white knight with the shining armor. But what about, people who are not into Google and not into their platform and not into their, solutions? What else do we
Yeah, I
have?
mean, I would sure. I mean, I would say it's the sort of a big other player from a, I guess, both a political and ideological perspective. The Trade Desk, their platform, they're much more kind of open web advocates. Not to say Google doesn't advocate for the open web, but the Trade Desk doesn't really play as a walled garden player, right? They're fully committed to kind of open web, and open web publishers and ad inventory and a kind of a as free of an exchange in terms of transacting programmatic media buying kind of as possible. They've been committed to this to kind of the UID 2 schema in terms of as a kind of a federated shared identity space that is robust but privacy friendly, right? Where the underlying like root identity key based on hashed email address that never actually gets into the ecosystem as part of the ad auction. And yet, because it is such a readily available identity key for both advertisers and publishers, like that using that as the starting point and then finding ways to match those users like in a privacy friendly way is really at the core of UID2. And they've gotten a fair amount of industry support at this point. It was sort of unclear of how much adoption it would receive, but AWS has come on board. There's some big publishers, I think Disney Plus, a number of others. But so I think that's a possible also solution. It's very similar to Pair conceptually. Again, Pair is within the Google ecosystem, so it's more of what I would call a walled garden solution. Though you could certainly reach advertisers, I mean publishers on the open web with it, and I don't want to like exaggerate that. So there's that MediaOcean with their flash talking platform. They have the F-Track ID and then their own user graph. Last I checked, that their own user graph is probably approaching 100 million at this point. It's at least 60 million last I checked.
Oh.
They have a cookieless solution, and they also have the ability to like their platform is very flexible to what identity key you use for generating your audiences within their platform. So you can use your own for load your own first party audiences, and then it will also kind of merge that with the their own user graph ID. So that should facilitate both cookieless measurement and audience targeting. So that's a potent, that's a solution that has a lot of potential. There's private, there's not private, excuse me, there's like addressable marketplaces, say like Mercury, the M1 an ecosystem. They have what's called the publisher addressable marketplace, or PAM. And in this case, you can like you th these are publishers who are able to where you can make addressable media buys based on the Mercury ID. So again, you can if you're on the Mercury backbone, then you can target those audiences with your again you have your own first party data in platform, and then create with those segmentation, then you can target those audiences directly through those PAM, those publishers, that network of publishers that's part of that PAM network. So there's a number of solutions emerging. There'll be certainly more clean room and clean room like solutions that will emerge. And we already have some, leading players in that space, LiveRamp of the world, Neustar, Viant. So there's a number of solutions. There's a number of places people should be testing into this. But I think we're at that point now where, kind of sitting around the conference room table and saying we need to be thinking about this. Okay, now you also need to be actioning on this. You need to be testing things. You need to be talking to these vendors, talking to your Google reps, figuring out two or three really strong contenders of solutions that will allow you to reach your target audiences, measure your media, and likely you won't end up with a solution, but a few solutions that all together kind of help solve for these use cases and needs.
I mean, only time will tell.
Only time will tell. Only
time. And speaking of time, this is all the time that we have for this episode. Time flies.
Time does fly. We have some great conversations, and you made me hungry with all this talk of cookieless futures, and reminding me of how good Egyptian pastries and sweets are.
I mean, you're coming soon, so you'll taste them again.
True, true. I'll get some more gym time in before I come, so I don't feel so guilty.
We'll catch up when you get here. And for everyone who's listening, we'll catch up in the next episode. So we're definitely looking forward to seeing you there. And on that note, au revoir.
Cheers. Thank you, my friend, as always.
Bye-bye.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Digital Disruption Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of digital transformation and gained valuable insights to help navigate the ever-changing landscape. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us on our website, esens.com, or connect with us on social media. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting discussions on the forefront of digital innovation. Remember, the future is now, and it's time to embrace the power of transformation. Thanks for listening, and until next time.